Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast, number 88, on August 3rd, 2014. I'm going to start right off telling you a story about something that happened to me recently. I had some pegging classes scheduled at the store in Ventura called Kama Sutra Closet, which has been renamed. They came out of the closet and renamed their store Tristology. It's a lovely store, and they carry only body safe, totally non-toxic products and the top of the line stuff. So I really enjoy teaching there. It's a win-win for the owner of the shop and for me, and I get to teach my classes, and we've had a really good relationship for quite some time. So imagine my surprise when the relationship between she and I is still wonderful, but imagine my surprise when there was an issue with the latest classes that I was teaching. It's my usual beginner and advanced class, and she did me the favor of advertising it in the newspaper this time, and this is the first time that she's ever done that. There's always been flyers and postcards and things like that, but this is the first time she actually put it in the paper. And it wasn't just my class, it was other classes as well, because she offers a selection of different educational classes. And all of a sudden, she gets a visit from code enforcement, and they are asking if live sex acts take place in that store. And it was because of my ad. It was because of the copy that was describing my class. So here's what it says, okay? It says all kinds of things about what the classes include, the different questions that I answer, the different topics that I address. And then at the very end of it, it says, see clothed, meaning people wearing clothing, clothed demonstrations of positions, right? So apparently this is the problem. And apparently someone who read it in the newspaper called the police and said they're doing live sex acts there. I'm not sure exactly what they said, so I'm just sort of, you know, making this up as I go along, but I do know they called and complained to the police. Now, the police have better things to do than to go out and check and make sure there's not live sex acts going on at a adult toy store in Ventura, but there is another people that they call, another department, and that's code enforcement, I guess. So code enforcement comes. I wasn't there. I don't know how they were dressed. You know, when I heard about this story at first, I had all this whole fantasy about cops showing up, and I'm like, damn, I love cops. I would have loved to have been there to talk to them about my class, but it wasn't. It was the code people. So they talk to a very nice young woman who works at the store who is not the owner and say, are there live sex acts going on here, or whatever they say? And she says, you think that there's sex happening here? She said, no, if you want to see sex acts, then you should go to 3-star books, blah, 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 because this young lady actually used to work there. And this is like an adult store that was grandfathered in because they've been around for so long that they don't actually follow the code of current adult toy stores. They don't have to adhere to it because they've been around for so long. So in the back of their store, I hear, is a place where you can watch movies. And you know they're mopping those floors at night, right? So anyway, she tells them, if you want to, you know, see that, or if you want to catch people doing that, you should go there. And they said, well, thanks for the information, but we still need to talk about this place. And they eventually got a hold of the owner, who said, what? What are you talking about? So they told her about the wording in the ad, and she called me, and it was really quite wild because it was such a sex-negative approach to the whole thing that it was really quite appalling and astonishing that they would not only take issue with this, but that they would spend their time on it. Because she explained exactly what I do, and she got the wording of the coding. And the wording of the coding, okay, I'm going to get it right now and read it to you guys. Okay, one of the things that they talked about was that anything that imitates sexual intercourse, then all of a sudden the place where you're holding it becomes a sexual encounter center. So, okay, what's a sexual encounter center? Here's from the code. Adult Sexual Encounter Center. Sexual Encounter Center means any business, agency, or person who, for any form of consideration or gratuity, provides a place where three or more persons, not all members of the same family, that part flips me out, may congregate, assemble, or associate for the purpose of engaging in physical contact in the form of wrestling or tumbling between persons of the opposite sex, or activities between male and female persons and or persons of the same sex when one or more of the persons is in a state of nudity or semi-nude or other specified sexual activities or exposing specified anatomical areas. Holy crap, that was a run-on sentence. Goes on to say, this definition does not include an establishment where a medical practitioner, psychologist, psychiatrist, or similar professional person licensed by the state of California engages in sexual therapy. And also it says, for purposes of this chapter, specified sexual activities shall include the following: actual or simulated sexual intercourse, oral copulation and intercourse, oral anal copulation, bestiality, direct physical stimulation of unclothed genitals, flagellation or torture in the context of a sexual relationship, or the use of excretory functions in the context of a sexual relationship, and any of the following sexually oriented acts or conduct. Here's where it gets wild. I may not pronounce all of these right. Analingus, buggery, coprophagy, coprophilia, cunnilingus, fellatio, necrophilia, pederasty, pedophilia, picarism, sapphism, zoorastia. Okay, so apparently I fall in this category where they don't want me doing this. So she fought it, and she went down, the owner, and she went down there and talked to them at the code place and said, okay, look, here's what happened. She lectures the entire class. Then she asks for a volunteer from the audience, and then they do things like he sits on her lap, or they spoon while laying on the floor, or things like that, because she's just demonstrating positions, right? And the lady at the code place said, yeah, not happening. And the owner said, you have got to be kidding me, because, you know, we both understand that this is not what this code is intended to prevent. This is educational purposes. This is not a live demo. People are totally clothed. And anyway, she kept talking to him. And the code lady said, you know, look, we didn't come up with the codes overnight. We put a lot of thought into these. So she asked, well, what if she ended the class and then for free on her own time displayed the positions? Well, apparently just displaying the positions in a place of business would then have made them an adult sexual encounter center. So she said that's not okay either. Now, here's my question. because I'm so pissed off about this, I could just spit. I've already done the class, okay? The class was June 13th. But this was so sex negative and so prohibiting of normal stuff. I don't even know how to express it. It was just really not in the right spirit of the law, if you ask me. It was just intensely sex negative. That I thought, well, maybe I should get some of my girlfriends to come up here, my sex educator girlfriends, and give them all strap-ons to wear, because heavens knows I have enough strap-ons for them all, and we could put them all on and we could go to the park. Now, would this be something I would normally do? Fuck no. But it would create quite a furor, and people might even call the police, and the police would come and say, what are you doing? Now, it's not illegal to wear a strap-on walking down the street, especially if it's not a realistic one. I'm not sure if it's illegal to wear a realistic one, but I probably would err on the side of doing the colored ones. It's not illegal to wear a strap-on anywhere you want. So I could have a bunch of my girlfriends wearing strap-ons in the park, and I could be talking to them about the different positions. And then when the police showed up or somebody said, what the hell are you doing? I could tell them, well, you know, we really wanted to do this in the privacy of away from the public and do this in the privacy of a business where I taught my classes. But basically Ventura County told me I couldn't do that. So I'm really at a loss because I'm not really sure where to do this now, because it's important that people learn this and see what's going on, see? Oh yeah, I'm a rabble-rouser. I just so want to fuck with these people. What ended up happening for my class was that I did not demonstrate the positions. Actually, that's not true. I did roll around on the floor myself a little bit, but I didn't do it with anyone, just because I wanted to err on the side of caution. It's really, really difficult to have an adult toy store in Ventura County. They have restrictions that limit you to 15% of your inventory of what you offer in your store. That's the limit that you can offer that is classified as a novelty. And so that's what sex toys are classified as always, are novelties. So basically what they're saying is, yeah, you can sell sex toys, but only 15% of your store. Now, there's another store that sells sex toys in Ventura that adheres to that and sells a whole bunch of lingerie. The owner of this store, what she's chosen to do is to, she took a retail space across the courtyard and opened up this really high-end lingerie store, which has beautiful things. And then across the courtyard and upstairs is where the toy store is. It has no regular hours. That was what Ventura County insisted upon. Down at City Hall, I believe, is where she made these negotiations. So basically what she does is puts a sign on the door that says, come over to the lingerie place and let us know if you'd like an appointment. And then they come over and say, hey, we'd like to see the toys. And she says, great, let's make an appointment for right now. And goes and takes them upstairs and shows them the toys and shuts down the lingerie store for a little while. And it all works and everybody's happy with it. But the fucking Ventura County is so sex negative, it's just ridiculous. And basically what's happened because of all this is that there's a lot of us that have taken a step back, if you will, because there's other classes that were held, like, for example, at the other adult toy store. And that one had like a BDSM 101 class, and there was demonstrations of floggings and things like that. So as I understand it, when I read this description, that was totally not okay. So yeah, not real happy with that whole situation. The last thing that they told the owner of the store was, well, if you would like to have us review the code, and I think what they meant by that is to review it and to see if your store is an exception, or to see if perhaps the code should be changed to allow situations like yours, we'd be happy to do that, and it will only cost you $945. Oh my God. Okay. So I posted this up on Facebook, and some friends of mine who are all sex educators, they all echoed that there seems to be a bit of a crackdown on stupid shit like this, and that they weren't really sure what the deal was. Perhaps it's because there's an election year coming up. It's really hard to say. But it was important when posting things about classes to say non-interactive, you know, no live demonstrations and things like that, because that's what they cue off of, apparently. It was just really, really irritating. So now you've listened to me rant about it for a while, and I'm going to shut up. But I just wanted you to know kind of what happens behind the scenes sometimes with sex educators. They pull the reins in so tight and they take a look at all of this stuff in such a ridiculously conservative way. And of course, that's my own opinion. But truly, the things that I do in my pegging class when I demonstrate positions are the things that you might see people doing, a cozy couple doing on the beach, at the park, you know, cozying up with each other. So I find it really interesting to think that what I'm doing, in strictly in a context of education, it's not like I sit there and thrust or do anything like that. I just get in the position and talk about it. So it's interesting to think that mine is any worse than cozy couples on the beach. And I got to tell you, the one thing that kind of flipped me out about that code was the part about not all members of the same family. What? Not all members of the same family? So it's okay if the families do it and they tumble around and they do sexy things? That is completely fucked up. I'm sure that's not what they meant by that, but that's where it hit me. Not members of the same family? Ah, ay, ay, ay. Okay, I'm done. Let's move on here. Let's get to the questions. Here's the first one. Boyfriend and I have a great sex life, and pegging is a regular activity. Boyfriend has some back issues and has noticed that after being pegged, his back aches, and sometimes when he has an orgasm, he can also feel some pain in his back. We generally peg in the missionary position because we like the connection. Have you heard of this before? Do you have any suggestions to reduce or stop this? The company Liberator, who makes all kinds of wonderful sex furniture, makes something called a wedge ramp combo. And the wedge ramp combo is two pieces of furniture put together. It's a pair, and basically it's hard to describe, but if you turn it one way, you can get a certain amount of support as you lay on your back, and if you turn it the other way, you can get even more, and it raises your hips even higher. So it's dual purpose in terms of the different choices that you have, but it's really, really excellent for low back pain in the missionary position. I've recommended this to a bunch of people out there. So I really highly recommend the Liberator Wedge Ramp Combo. And I'm going to put a link on my Linkorama on the blog to that. That should definitely give you some help and support for his back. And hopefully it should eliminate the pain. It's really kind of hard to say because, you know, all back conditions are a little different. And depending on what kind of back condition he has, could mean that that combo wouldn't be necessarily the right thing. But usually when missionary position is the favorite and it does cause low back problems, this is the magic formula, is that wedge ramp combo. Okay, next question. Okay, this is a lovely letter. The title was Seducing My Husband, My Questions. Hi, everyone. I'm new here. It's only been several weeks that I've discovered pegging, and I'm fascinated by it. About us, I'm a 32-year-old lady. My husband and I have been together for 10 years, married for 6. English is not my first language, so I'm sorry for mistakes and weird phrasing. We are a vanilla couple, but recently we started having some butt play for both of us, and we both enjoy it so far. We do some rimming, finger penetration, with the come here motion. That was mainly my husband's idea. But now, I'd love to take a next step to pegging, and maybe anal sex for me. First, we'll try Enjoy Pure Butt Plug Medium, then maybe a Tanta Silk Medium in hand, and then hopefully a spare parts strap-on. That's my seduction plan, but I have so many questions. Ruby did a wonderful job with her websites and podcasts. Thank you. You're a great teacher. What a great idea to talk about trust and sensitive privacy of butt play. I have some more questions, and I'd love some opinions. Here are some of them. 1, how do we move from come here motion to thrusting? And are there people who do enjoy anal play, but only without thrusting? My man isn't that eager for active motion, but that is the main reason for me to peg him. I love to thrust, even if I will be clumsy at the beginning. Does it feel better with practice, or guys only want what they want, and that's it? As for myself, I'm not into thrusting anally yet, and that's why I have this question. I wonder if it's different with a prostate. Okay, you have more questions, but I'm going to answer these to begin with. How do you move from come here motion to thrusting? With the toy, basically. The come here motion is a little bit of a thrusting, and you can emphasize that a little bit more if you're using a handheld toy. And then your other question is, are there people who do enjoy anal play but only without thrusting? Oh, of course, because there's any number of people out there that are all different when it comes to anal play. And there are some who just like to feel something in there and don't like thrusting at all. And then you say, my man isn't that eager for active motion. And let's see, does it feel better with practice, or do guys only want what they want and that's it? You know, there are some stories of guys initially just feeling a little awkward about the thrusting because they were used to just having something, a toy that they played with, and it wasn't a thrusting thing, it was just something inside them. So the pegging was a new experience, but it was something they totally learned to love. It, you know, again, the prostate is very much like a G-spot, and it sort of wakens when you start stimulating it. And initially, you know, stroking the G-spot for me wasn't involved with a whole lot of pleasure. It wasn't uncomfortable, but it was really nothing sensational. But over time, I've learned to absolutely love that. and it's one of my favorite things. And the prostate is the same way. I've heard from a number of men who initially just like to have a butt plug in. And then when they found pegging, at first they were kind of like, oh, I'm not so sure about this. And then they learned to absolutely love it. So it's really impossible to know where your husband's going to fall in all this, but, you know, hopefully he will enjoy the thrusting. And then you said, you wonder if it's different with a prostate. You know, I think I already answered that, because the thrusting and the more intense back and forth motion is something that G-spot and prostate can really benefit from and learn to enjoy, so men and women. Okay, let me go on to your next thing here. A chick with a dick, is it really hot? To me, it looks ridiculous. Sorry, everybody. I don't know how to introduce the idea of a harness in the first place. Any ideas? And then I have this picture in my head that he sees me in it with a dildo and just starts laughing or thinks it's weird. How do I get some cock confidence? And could you tell me honestly, what was your and your partner's initial reaction to her with a dildo strap on? So all you listeners out there, if you have anything to contribute for that, please do write in and let us know. Usually, the way that this goes in terms of the pegging and who approaches who is more often the opposite. It's the man approaching the woman. And when that happens, the man has been fantasizing about getting pegged for a long time, and he's been fantasizing about her wearing a strap-on, and it's just about the hottest thing ever. And so if that was the case, I would be quite confident in saying that he will think it's the hottest thing ever. But I don't know what he's going to think, because you are approaching him with this, and it sounds like he's not for sure on board, even though the whole anal play thing has been going really, really well. So what I would suggest is to strap it on and wear it around the house a little bit and get used to it, get used to the feel of it, get used to it being on your body, because that'll give you more confidence when you put it on. Another thing to do is to make sure that that harness is fitted to you just right. So put it on when he's not around and fit it exactly and cinch it up and make it fit you just right, so that all you have to do is to put it on and tighten a few straps and boom, you're right there, as opposed to fumbling around. That will also give you more confidence. There was a suggestion by a friend of mine some time ago, and I don't think it's a bad one. It might be something you want to consider, to just kind of experiment to see what it feels like and to put a pillow underneath your hips and kind of fuck the pillow for a while just to see what that's like. That will also potentially give you confidence, because at least you will have made the motions to see what it feels like. And let's see, what else can I think of? Okay, ideally, you would like him to be totally on board with this idea before you all of a sudden step out of the bedroom or have him walk into the bedroom and you're wearing a strap-on. Because if he walks into the bedroom and you're wearing a strap-on, you guys have never talked to him about it, that would be not good. And that is where you might get him bursting out in laughter. Hopefully not, but that would be a risk. So you guys need to talk about this whole pegging thing, and you need to tell him that this is something you're really interested in. It's a very small step from having a toy and using a toy on him, like you mentioned the dildo, and then strapping it on. It's symbolically quite bigger than it is in reality. In other words, it's a small step just to strap it on, because you've already been fucking him with the toy held in your hand, right? But on the other hand, some guys get really bothered with the idea of the whole I might be gay thing, and they kind of flip out about that. They think it affects their masculinity. Send him in my website to take a look at all the information there about how no, it doesn't have anything to do with your sexual orientation. And then, if need be, talk some more about the whole role reversal and how it really intrigues you. Because what can happen in a couple who's been married as long as you guys have is that the role reversal can be really quite astounding. It will allow you both to experience sex kind of like from the other side of the bed. He will be experiencing what you usually do, and vice versa. And that will give you both so much compassion and understanding for each other that it will just really deepen your intimacy together. So perhaps that's something to share with him as an added advantage to trying pegging. And hopefully, once you guys talk about this for a while, he'll get on board and he'll start to think that it's pretty cool. And both you and he can shop for the equipment together would be what I would suggest. Sometimes you'll find that guys don't want a realistic looking one, and sometimes they do. And of course, your needs need to be taken into consideration too. So I would suggest that you talk about it, because if you choose one or the other, it might be not what he would have chosen. And it sounds like you're much more on board with this than he is so far. So you'll want to try and cater to what he wants to make sure that it's a smooth experience for him and that he gets on board. Those would be my suggestions. Let me see if I missed some here. Can I honestly tell you what my partner's initial reaction to me with a strap-on was? I make it quite clear that that is part of being in bed with me, is a strap-on. So I have never encountered a man that was anything but absolutely and totally turned on by me wearing a strap-on. In fact, if we can digress just a little bit and talk about the class again, one of the things that I do is to put a strap-on on over my jeans so that everybody in the class can take a look at it. And guys have told me afterwards, oh my God, when you put that on, that was so hot. So I've never had any other reaction than, oh my God, that's so hot. So, yeah, I hope I've answered all of your questions. And good luck, and please do tell us how it goes. Okay, here's the next question. Just wanted to ask you a question. If this is the proper venue, great. So I've engaged my wife of 7 years on the issue of pegging. She initially said she'd try it, but has acquiesced and said that she'd be more comfortable watching me get pegged by another woman. She's comfortable with me going to a place like in Nevada where we can hire a professional. However, part of me wonders why she would rather watch than participate. Based on previous conversations, I think it's a control issue and related to some intimacy issues that weren't present until after we got married. She's mentioned before that she could handle watching me fuck and be fucked by other women in her presence. I'd like to know what you think. Thanks for your time and consideration. Okay, this is just a total and complete guessing game on my part because I don't know enough information because I can't talk to her, because ideally that was what you would be doing, sir, is talking to her. One of my guesses would be that she might be the kind of woman who really wants to get everything just right and have it perfect. And so she's fearful of not doing it right and looking awkward and looking foolish, because this is a common fear for women who really are exacting about wanting to get everything right. There's that type of personality. And women with that type of personality really have a hard time getting into pegging in the very beginning of it, because that learning curve is so steep. So that's one of the possibilities, is that she is fearful of not doing it well enough or doing it badly. And apparently she's open enough about including or seeing you with another woman, or including another woman in the room, or, you know, however you want to phrase it, that she's willing to let another woman do it. And maybe she wants to learn that way. So that's my first guess. But in terms of other things about related to intimacy issues, I don't have a clue. You really need to talk with her about this and sit down and ask her about it, because, and I have to mention, you mentioned she initially said she tried but has acquiesced. Acquiesced is a word that means she went along with what you wanted. So I think you meant another word there. But it, in context of that sentence, it sounds like she first said she tried, but then she changed her mind and said she'd be more comfortable watching you get pegged by another woman. So that part that you mentioned about the intimacy issues that weren't present until after we got married, not a clue. She's mentioned before that she could handle watching me fuck and be fucked by other women in her presence. And, you know, that might be an okay alternative, but I would really suggest that you guys need to talk it through, like, up one side and down the other before you do this. Not only because going out and engaging the services of a professional for this is a really big step, and a married couple, it doesn't make any difference whether you're married, a couple who has been together for some time needs to negotiate this, talk about what's comfortable and what's not, talk about the boundaries, and make sure that you completely understand what's okay and what's not. Because simple things can go wrong. Let's say in her mind, what she's picturing is the woman pegs you, but you and the woman don't kiss, you don't have any kind of what could be called romantic encounters, during that pegging session and that's not what you picture, so you go ahead and do that. That would not be good in that moment. So see how you need to really talk this out before it happens. And initiating the conversation and telling her that you would like to talk with her about it gives you the chance to ask what her back off is, why she wouldn't want to do it herself, and you just need to be direct. It sounds like she's been direct enough in saying, well, I'd really rather watch you do it with another woman, to where I'd pull the strings and say, okay, let's talk about this some more and see what you can find out, because it's possible that she has some fears you would be able to calm and reassure her about, and she would be willing to try it herself. Because it could be something as silly as she's afraid she's just not going to do it right, she's going to look silly. It's hard to know. But if it's something deeper than that, then it's even more important that you know that, because that's important for your relationship. So, go for it. Let us know how it goes. Okay, next question. I am interested in the Tango double dildo, but would like to find a boxer/brief style harness, something without straps for her to wear comfortably and receive pleasure. Is there anything of the sort that allows her to be penetrated as well? One that does not place material between the pegging toy and herself. Please let me know. Thank you. I really appreciate all of your advice. Well, the first two that come to mind are the lovely spare parts harness choices. One is called the Bella and the other is called the Sasha. The difference between the two is that the Sasha has these little ribbons that cause like ruching, and ruching is a fancy word for just gathers, but it can make the side seams on the side of the briefs gathered and shorter. And there's also ribbons that provide ruching right in the butt crack area, and that is just such a beautiful effect because it outlines the cheeks of your rear end to just gorgeously. And this is the Sasha, and the Sasha and the Bella both have detachable garter straps. So the straps that are on it are for stockings. They're garters for stockings, not straps to hold the harness on. It is a panty style harness, and it is compatible with the Tango or any double-ended dildo, but of course you guys know the Tango is my favorite. And the Bella, how that one differs is the ruching is not there in the little ribbons, but instead it's got this beautiful little peekaboo butt crack thing in the back, this little circle. This little hole, I should say. It's not a circle, it's a hole. And that hole is not meant to be accessible. It's not meant for anal sex. It's just meant to look incredibly pretty. And I think it has a bow at the top of the little hole. So that's the difference between the two. They're both beautiful, beautiful harnesses from Spare Parts. And we sell them both. So take a look at those because they are definitely compatible with the Tango, and I think that they're just more gorgeous than you can picture for a harness. They're some of the prettiest harnesses out there, absolutely. So if you're thinking about combining one of those two harnesses with the Happy Valley Tango dildo, and then if you get a Wee Vibe Tango Bullet Vibe to go in the Tango double dildo, you're going to have not only the sexiest harness ever, but you're also going to have one that has the maximum potential for giving her pleasure. Because replacing the Bullet Vibe that comes with the Tango with the super powerful, amazing Bullet Vibe that Wee Vibe makes, which happens to also be called the Tango, is guaranteeing that you're not only going to have the clitoral stimulation as much as you can managed to get from a toy like that, but you're also going to have G-spot stimulation too from the part of the bulb that goes inside her from the dildo. So yeah, that is a total winning combination. Oh my gosh, if you combine those three, that's kind of wild. And I'm going to put links for that on my blog so you can check all those items out. Okay, next question. Let's see here. Hi, I'm from Switzerland. I'm very excited to find your website. I first heard you on Sex Nerd Sandra podcast. You have such a nice voice and sense of humor, and great laid-back attitude and confidence. Also, you give so much information and food for thought. I was wondering if you could help my husband and I figure some things out about anal play. We've been together for 10 years, but it's only now that we are trying to figure out anal pleasure for both of us, giving and receiving. So far, we've only have been trying rimming and finger play, and we both really enjoy it and would love to explore more. Pegging sounds really exciting to me, but I haven't discussed it with my husband yet. Here are some questions we have. 1. If rimming is just on the outside, tongue is not penetrating the anus, and it has been cleaned with soap and water, is it safe or not? Okay, safe is an interesting word here. There's all kinds of people who indulge in rimming and have no problems with it at all. Can you find the occasional person that has had an issue with it? Yes, you can. Basically, I would refer you to an article I wrote called The Risks of Rimming, and it talks about the different difficulties you could have in terms of STIs and infections and things like that. It's actually much more minimal than you would think. And the biggest risk, which is still very, very small, even amongst fluid-bonded couples, which I am kind of assuming you and your husband are, is actually hepatitis, non-infectious hepatitis. But that's so rare. And it sort of requires a confluence of events of eating something contaminated and then having it come out in your excrement and then choosing that time to do rimming and then not cleaning enough. Now, if you clean out really well on the inside using a rectal bulb syringe and then you wash with water and soap on the outside, is it pretty clean? Yes. Are there still bacteria there? Oh, most certainly there are. Bacteria hangs out all over the place. You can do the best you can to clean it, and you probably do a great job of it. And the likelihood that you're going to have any problems with an infection or anything like that are very, very, very low. But is there still bacteria there? Yes. So, you know, safe is a matter of perception. Depends on your definition and what you want to call it, basically. And that's the best way that I can answer that. I personally stick my tongue right in there, no problem. I don't have an issue with it, and I've never had a problem. And anyone that I've been a partner with who has done it to me has never had a problem either. So that's the best information I can give you. But I am going to put the link to the risks of rimming at the end of... I'm going to put it on my blog so that you can check that out as well. Because that's a good thing to read just to know the risks that you're taking, and maybe it'll make you feel a little bit safe. Okay, your next question. The same with cock and pussy on the outside of the anus and no penetration. Is it safe? Okay. Guys have been having anal sex with no condoms for a long time. Are there guys out there who have actually gotten a UTI infection? Yes, this is a uterine tract infection. Yes, there are. They're really, really rare. The reason that they're really, really rare is because the urethra, in other words, the point at which the bacteria can enter, which in this case is if you're putting the penis and touching it to the outside of the anus, much less going inside, right? The distance between the end of the penis where that bacteria can enter and all the way into the bladder where it can cause a problem is quite long in a man, so it's rare for them to get UTIs. It's not completely unknown, and there are some men who have reported in and said, hey, I got a horrible UTI, and I'm never going to do anal sex without a condom again. But the vast majority of them never have a problem with it. So again, it depends on the risks you want to take. Now, putting your pussy up against an ass and just kind of, I'm sort of picturing grinding against his ass as if you had a dildo on, but you don't, kind of rubbing yourself against him, that runs a higher risk because women's urethras are much, much shorter, which is why we end up getting the uterine tract infections easier, okay? So if you do that, that runs more risk, and you should definitely pee real well afterwards. And honestly, I'm not sure I'd risk that one. I really hate UTIs. And that seems a little bit like asking for it to me. Let's see. Your next question is gas. How common is it to have excess gas passing after anal finger play? Well, this is really interesting because the physiology of the rectum is two anal sphincters, okay? And they're concentric circles. So the outer one is smooth muscle and it's involuntary. The inner one is different. I'm not sure if I said that right. The outer one is voluntary and it's smooth muscle. The inside one is involuntary and it's not smooth muscle. It's different. So the inside one can actually be stretched past the point of being functional again, which I've said many times on the podcast sounds scary, but it's not. And people who have had bad bouts of constipation have already done as much damage as they're ever going to do to that inner sphincter. But what the inner sphincter is specifically there for is to hold in liquid in case your bowels, if you have diarrhea, and gas. And so I have heard people say that once they do some anal play and once they try pegging, that the gas comes out easier. And they were wondering, you know, am I stretched out forever? Is this going to be like something that's bad? And again, there's an article that I wrote called "Will Pegging Cause Fecal Incontinence?" And no, it won't. Certainly you can make mistakes and do pegging and any kind of anal play excessively with sharp objects and do stupid things and way, way, way too big. And by excessively, I meant the big, not too much. But it will not cause fecal incontinence because that outer sphincter is supported by three huge groups of muscles and it totally compensates. But still, people have noticed that gas comes out easier. So yeah, that is part of it. And it's not a bad thing. It's just something to notice. And let's see here. You're not doing anything wrong with that. You wrote, we both have issues with that. It doesn't bother us, but maybe we're doing something wrong in terms of technique, lots of lube, teasing, gradual penetration, almost no thrusting so far, just the come here movement. I do appreciate all the physiological information you provide, and it would be nice to clear up the air on the subject. Yeah, so that's the answer is, yeah, you might notice that, and that's because that inner sphincter is getting stretched out, and the outer sphincter is going to take over, and yeah, it's no big deal. And your last question here, what is a good beginner's dildo, small but good enough for strap-on later on, that is non-realistic in look but realistic in feel, and that has a good curve for prostate stimulation? Well, that's a tough one. Realistic in feel, non-realistic in look, and it's small enough for a beginner. First of all, when you say realistic in feel, it makes me think of the dual density dildos, because there are some very expensive but very nice dual density dildos out there that have a firmer inner core and a softer outer core that are supposed to really mimic what a real penis feels like. Those are real expensive, and I'm going to have to take a look to find out if any of those meet the criteria that you've put there, but the regular 100% silicone ones, Tantus makes one called the Sport, and it comes in two lengths, 5.5 inches and 7.5 inches. And both of them are 1.25 inches in diameter, which is a very nice beginning size. And it is non-realistic in look, and it does have a good curve on the end for prostate stimulation. The way to choose between the 5.5 and the 7.5 inch one, 5.5 is the minimum length that I would say is good to have a dildo for pegging. And it's because you have to get past butt cheeks and things. And if it's any shorter than that, you're falling out all the time and it's just not long enough. I did actually have a good experience with this exact dildo, and it was the 5.5 inch. And let me tell you what that scenario looked like. So I'm giving a really good review on the Sport, the 5.5 length one, which I really never thought I'd do. I thought that the very minimum length for a dildo should be 6 inches. This was a 5.5. The man that I was with was very, very slender. In fact, he almost had like no butt. And I'm not really slender, but I don't have a big belly, which would interfere with me doing the pegging. So if there's any excess, you know, with larger people, then you're going to want the 7.5 inch one. And it all depends on body sizes. The 7.5 inch one is going to you lovely for someone, like if your guy that you're pegging has a big bum, you know, and to get past the cheeks, or if you're both large people, or if you are, then the 7.5 is a better choice. So, yeah, that would be my best recommendation. But let's see on the dual densities. Let me see what I can find here. Okay, the only one that I could find that met your criteria in terms of being unrealistic but kind of a beginner size really was still 1.5 inches in diameter, which is, you know, I would really call that a moderate. It's not really a beginning size, so it's not really small. It does have that dual density realistic feel, and it doesn't have a curve, so I kind of struck out on the dual density ones. So realistic in feel is sort of, you know, you kind of get what you get with silicone. They have slick silicone and matte, meaning sort of the non-slick surface. They have those dildos as well, but pretty much, you know, silicone is going to only feel so real. So that's pretty much all I can tell you. And I think that's it for this questions. And let me move on to the next one. First, let me say that I love your blog and podcasts. I found them recently and have been working my way through. I walk to keep fit, and your podcasts keep me interested and motivated on my 5-mile morning sessions. I am a semi-professional writer of erotica with a large amount dedicated to pegging and femdom, and have been so over 15 years. Most of my stories have a femdom theme because I write what I like, but having listened to your podcasts, I've really come to appreciate non-BDSM pegging as another way for couples to connect intimately. My wife and I have enjoyed dildo play for almost our entire 18 years of marriage. We started off way too big with one of the Vaculock jelly dildos that I know you dislike. It looked cool when we bought it, but it was too large and overpriced. Unfortunately, there were not as many options back then as there are now, so where we were enthusiastic, the toy was too big, and I actually developed a small hemorrhoid because of it. Needless to say, that killed the strap-on play. I can be stubborn, and it's hard for me to easily drop things. We continued a bit of anal play, but nothing as adventurous as pegging. After a few years of keeping away from pegging, I began researching. I increased my fiber and my water intake, and the hemorrhoid issue disappeared. Yay, happy ass. So we use a small Tantus silk dildo, which is only 3/4 inch wide, but not long enough for us to really use with our harness. It simply isn't long enough. We also have a small toy 5 or by wet for her, which is 1.1 inches wide. The length is great, but it seems too wide. Do you know of a silicone dildo that is 1 inch or less wide but is longer than the silk small? Whew, man, we are getting technical with the toys tonight. Let's see here. Oh, and I'm going to read this last part too because it just tickled me. And once again, thanks for the wonderful blog and great insight. By the way, my wife says you have a very sexy voice. Well, thank you, wife. Thank you very much. Let me see what kind of toy I can find you guys here. Okay, the Tantus Medium silk dildo is 5 1/4 inches long and 1 inch wide. So that fits your criteria. And I looked and the silk small is 4 1/4 inches long. So yeah, way, way too small. So that would give you an extra inch and it would still be 1 inch wide. The other toy I found for you is, it's made by Sport Sheets, and it's called the Seduce Please, but Seduce is spelled differently. It's S-E-D-E-U-X. So that particular dildo is a pretty pink color, and it is not as wide. It's 0.875 in diameter, so it's less than an inch, and it's 5 inches long. So you'd be getting something 3/4 inch longer to play with and still small. So between those two, hopefully one of them will work for you. I know what you mean about it being way too small to do pegging with it 4 1/4. So yeah, hopefully those will work for you. Alrighty, let's throw another one quickly in here. We have bought several dildos to use, and we read the package, but who knows? And of course, the people at some of the adult stores are not so helpful when they want to make a sale, so how do we know? Because my husband and I have been practicing pegging for years, and I must say, it has helped our relationship in so many ways and brought us closer together. So how do we know if we have a safe toy? Thanks for your help. Okay, the best way to know if you have a safe toy is to buy from trusted companies. And there's a list of those in at the end of the article about toxic toys. But the main ones are Vixen Creations, Tantus, Fun Factory, there's a few of them. But also, a way to tell is there any odor? That's one of the ways to tell. If there's an odor to it, then it is likely not 100% silicone. The other thing is, can you see through it? Is it translucent, or, you know, is it clear? Any kind of toy that is clear is not going to be 100% silicone, no matter what the label says, because silicone is not clear. Well, they can make clear silicone, but it's cost prohibitive. They make it for things like contact lenses, but not for dildos, or else it'd be like a $500 dildo, probably. So if it's clear, that's bad. If you can smell it, there's an odor to it, that's bad. But mostly try and stay with the good companies. And again, I'm going to put a link on the blog and the Linkorama for you to peruse and check out those companies and see. Because if you know what brand it is, that would really help. But those are the basics behind finding a safe toy. Okay, I think we're going to leave it there. So I talked about a lot of toys tonight, and for the ones that we carry, those links will be on the blog, and you'll be able to find those toys at EnticeMe. EnticeMe.com is your source for the highest quality non-toxic body-safe toys. You can trust EnticeMe to offer you only the best sex toys available on the market today. You'll find pegging equipment as well as a wide variety of excellent toys, condoms, and lubes. What you won't find are the toxic toys offered by other retailers, because we care about our customers and we will never sell you anything but the best. Plus, when you shop at EnticeMe.com, you support my work in bringing the word about pegging to the world. Use the coupon code RUBY and get 20% off your order, and get any order over $100 ships for free. So, all you wonderful listeners out there, you can leave your questions or comments at 805-500-6544. You can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page, would love a thumbs up. You can subscribe to my blog. My blog has all kinds of wild, sexy things that never show up in my podcast. And my podcast is available on iTunes and also can be listened to directly on my... Don't listen to it directly on my blog anymore because we kind of almost shut down my server there, and I got shut down for about a day. Okay, so this is a really good time as I'm rattling through this and I pull myself up short to tell you guys that there is another way besides going directly through iTunes to listen to my podcast. And this has to do with the app called Dogcatcher. And Dogcatcher has two G's, so it's D-O-G-G, Dogcatcher. This is an app for a smartphone, and it's for an Android phone. It is not for an iPhone. But Dogcatcher is one of the most amazing podcast apps that I have ever found. It gives you so many choices. You can tell it how many episodes to download, what to do after you listen to them, to delete it automatically or keep it. You can tell it to play automatically from one podcast to the next. I mean, there's so many choices that you can make. It's the best. I believe I paid $4.95 for it. It's the best $4.95 I have ever spent, because what it's done is it's made my smartphone, my Android, a pretty much seamless and effortless podcast listening device. I can't tell you how much I love that, because I listen to podcasts all the time. So that's an option for you Android phone owners to listen to my podcast. And I know there's probably other podcast engines or apps out there, but wow, my favorite is Dogcatcher, and I'm definitely on Dogcatcher. So you can try that out if you like. That's an option to avoid the vicious iTunes. And speaking of my phone number, too, I know some people called in and asked some questions. I'm going to play those in my next podcast, which will come much sooner than this last one did. And I'm going to play those calls for you, which is going to be really, really exciting. And let's see what else. You can send all your questions and stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com or call that number at 805-500-6544. And always, always, thanks for being there. Thanks for listening. And thanks for downloading. Happy pegging, everyone.